If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. A couple weeks ago on Mother's Day, I talked about a mom's spiritual legacy. Excuse me. And last week was Pentecost Sunday. We had a great time in the Lord's presence. We talked about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to continue in a little bit of a similar vein today as we look to the Word of God. And we'll pick up chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul writes, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Skipping down to verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You'll notice on the screen I have that last sentence underlined, and that's where I want to draw our thoughts from today. "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The title of my message today is Spirit Walk. Spirit Walk. Let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever made... I'll take that as a yes. I'll take that as a yes as well. Have you ever said something you knew you shouldn't have said it, and the moment it's out of your mouth, you regretted it? Have you ever thought you'd overcome a bad habit once and for all, only to have it spring back and rise up against you again? Have you ever blown an opportunity to count for God? You had an incredible chance to say or do something for the Lord, but you didn't? One more question. Have you ever been frustrated with you? I think all of us can probably, if we answer truthfully, say yes. And that's a good thing, because only those who are thoroughly frustrated with their inability are ready for a partnership with the Holy Spirit, who has all the ability we will ever need. If we are to move from the frustration of accomplishing things in our own strength to fulfillment, the answer is to walk in the Spirit. To live a life in keeping with the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians 5 to Christians. And he is writing, actually in the whole book of Galatians, to encourage them to live their life the same way with Christ, the same way they came to Christ. That is, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that convicted them, that drew them to Jesus Christ. We know that the Spirit of God draws us to Jesus, doesn't He? And brings them into relationship with Almighty God. And Paul's thesis throughout the book of Galatians is why, Christians, when you have come to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, why in the world would you attempt to live for Christ in your own strength and your own power? It doesn't make sense, does it? What Paul says is that if you came to Christ through the Holy Spirit, you should live your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that makes a lot of sense, don't you? And yet too often we become frustrated because we try to live this Christian life in our own strength And we find, as we've already confessed this morning collectively, that we're unable to do that. But if we walk by the Spirit, if we live a Spirit walk, then we're able to be what God wants us to be. How does that take place? What do we need to understand this morning to walk in the Spirit, to move from frustration to fullness? We need to understand three things. The first one is the stride of the Spirit. I've already highlighted verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit is a phrase of purpose and progress. It tells us that God has incredible goals for our lives, and that the Holy Spirit is committed to helping us to realize and reach those goals. God has two things He wants to lead us into by His Holy Spirit. The first one is this: the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into maturity. If we are in stride with the Spirit, He will lead us into maturity. How many know that it's possible, entirely possible, to grow old without growing up? That's true, isn't it? Have you ever met someone who's never grown up? Physically, they've aged, but emotionally, they've never matured. Don't look around the room if they're here. The flip side of that is there are people who are young in years, but mature in their attitudes and actions. Listen to me this morning. There's nothing wrong with spiritual infancy. It's a stage we all must go through when we come to Christ, just as babies go through physical infancy. And when a newborn baby arrives, like Maris and Curtis's last week, and you count the fingers and toes, and the doctors put them through a bunch of tests, and you say, oh, they're healthy and they're good, and everything's great. That infant is just the way he or she should be, right? But if 6 months later, there's not some growth, they haven't gained some skills, you know, and a year after that, there's not some change, you say there's something wrong. They were at perfectly right stage as an infant, but they haven't progressed. And that describes the spiritual life, unfortunately, of many believers. They come to Christ, they're gloriously saved, they have a genuine experience with Jesus Christ. There's nothing phony, there's nothing fake about it, and they love the Lord. But they try, unfortunately, to walk in their own strength, their own ability. And they can't do it because they're not keeping in stride with the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to lead us into spiritual maturity. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. In chapter 3 of that same book, Peter writes, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, it was He, meaning Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Remember when you were little, when you were growing up, you wanted to get taller? And you would measure your height. You'd have your parents measure your height. I remember that. My mom's here today. We used to make the marks on the door jamb right. And every once in a while, we'd get measured. And, of course, I could never grow fast enough, and I never grew far enough. But anyway, I was vertically challenged as a youngster, and I still am. But kids want to grow. They want to become bigger. attain a certain height, I think we need to have that same desire in our spiritual realm. I want to become more like Jesus. I want to become more mature in the faith. Things that rattle me, as we read from Ephesians chapter 4, wind of doctrine and everything that kind of blows in and out. You know, when you're young, when you're immature, almost anything can rattle you. You know what I mean? Anything, somebody says something, somebody does something. This doesn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. And so many of us, we can almost fall apart because, you know, things just didn't turn out the way we wanted them to. Well, you know what that is? That's a sign of immaturity. A sign of immaturity doesn't fall apart when things go wrong. Influenced by everything that everyone says. Healthy things grow. And just as physically growing is something that is measurable, I believe spiritual growth is measurable as well. Let me ask you this morning. Has there been measurable spiritual growth in your life in the last year? 2 years? 5 years, if you've known the Lord that long? 10, 20, however long it's been. Is there measurable spiritual growth in your life, or are you at the same place you were back then? When we keep in stride with the Spirit, when we walk with the Spirit, when we live by the Spirit, I talked about last week when we were talking about Spirit baptism, that the key is being yielded and yielding ourselves and yielding our lives and yielding our tongues even to the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? That is how we live by the Spirit, by being continually, daily, every moment of our lives yielded to Him. And having the cry of our hearts and the attitude of our minds be, Holy Spirit, live through me. That's what leads us into maturity. But secondly, the Holy Spirit not only wants to lead us to maturity, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to ministry. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us to ministry. Did you know that you are called to ministry? Did you know that? Oh, you may not be called to full-time ministry. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called to be a missionary, although I believe there could be some missionaries out here and some pastors and teachers. But you're called to do ministry. God, His kingdom. Do you believe this morning that God wants to use you? That God has a purpose for you? That God has a niche? God has a place? God has a purpose for your life? Do you want to be used by God? I ask that because truthfully, some would rather not. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, refers to the Christianity some prefer as hot tub religion. All soothing, no serving. Do we want to be used by God? Are we taking steps to be used by God? Our growth in ministry is as measurable as our growth in maturity. If you feel like you have a singing ministry and the common reaction to your ministry is people doing this, that's probably not your thing. Then again, you probably knew that. But are people responding to the gifts God has given you? One pastor wrote that if you've ever informed somebody that they matter to God, and if that person listened and understood and repented and received Christ and started to grow, you know the thrill of seeing someone's eternal destiny changed because God used you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but I wonder how many of us here have had the thrill and the privilege of leading someone to Jesus Christ, and not just getting them to pray a prayer, but seeing them plugged into a local church and seeing them begin to grow and develop in their walk with God. Let me tell you, if you've ever had that experience, you will find, you will attest to the fact there's nothing greater. God can use you. God wants to use you to change the life of those who are around you. And the people who are used by God, the people who are active in ministry, who are serving God with the gifts that they have, those people are the happiest Christians that there are. Rather than just receiving and taking, are we being used of God? When we understand the stride of the Spirit, when we say, Holy Spirit, I want to walk with you. I told you last week what Pastor Cho of the world's largest church says when he gets up to preach. Holy Spirit, you're the senior partner. I'm just the junior partner. Come on, let's go preach this sermon together. I think that's a great prayer for all of us. Holy Spirit, today you are the senior partner. I'm the junior partner. I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me in that business meeting that's going to be tough, that meeting I have at work. I want you to help me with that project. I want you to help me with this relationship. I want you to help me with this problem. Holy Spirit, I want to walk with you today. Walking in the Spirit, keeping in stride with the Spirit. He leads us to maturity and to ministry. Secondly, we also need to understand, as we walk with the Spirit, the struggle of the saints. The struggle of the saints. And by the way, before I say anything else, when I refer to saints, I'm not referring to somebody who's dead, okay? The Bible says if we are believers, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we are the saints. Okay? Do we have that? All right. I like that good, strong answer. All right. We are the saints. We are the church. And the struggle of the saints is this. It's that it's not always easy to live by the Spirit. In verse 17 here in chapter 5, Paul says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Why do we struggle to live the life of the Spirit? First of all, we struggle with our old nature. I wrote about that in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Can anybody relate? Besides me? Yeah. That'll preach in the 21st century, won't it? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. You know what that's called? That's called, the King James Bible calls it the flesh. Modern translations call it the sinful nature. But it's that part of us that is against the ways of God. And that doesn't leave us. That nature is within us. When God saves us, He gives us a new nature. But the Scripture is very clear that our flesh or our sinful nature battles against our spiritual nature. How many have experienced that battle? It's a constant struggle. Paul isn't writing about people who are sinners in Romans 7 there, or here in Galatians either. He's writing to Christians. You know, we can do all we want to appear righteous and holy on Sunday morning. But how we live throughout the week, is really where it's at. And the people around us and our thought life. Nobody knows what our thought life is, but God does, doesn't He? And our sinful nature crops up in our thoughts, doesn't it? And so we struggle with our old nature. You ever feel that contradiction in your heart? You want to do what's right. You want to live for God, man. You want to just walk with God, and then you find this flesh comes up, and you say or do something, and you say, I thought I was over that. I thought I got through that. You find out it's still a struggle. I heard a story about a pastor who was preaching on this very passage. His young 3-year-old daughter was sitting in the front pew between her mother and her grandmother, scribbling on a piece of paper. She heard her daddy say, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. She looked up in a very loud and understanding voice, said, I know, Daddy. The ones who live with you, they know. They see your sinful nature rise up. We're a new person in an old package. God has done marvelous things in our lives, but we still battle that old nature. A young man asked an elderly Christian when it was that he no longer felt the tug and the pull of temptation. The old man, he said, you know, when that happens, I will let you know. Because that's a lifelong struggle. We struggle with our old nature. Secondly, we struggle with our old master. The enemy of our souls comes to tempt and to destroy. The Word of God says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Larry Christensen, in his book, The Renewed Mind, describes our accepting Christ as our Savior in terms of an old and new landlord. Our old landlord, makes our life miserable. He overcharges us. He lends us money at incredible interest to get us deeper in debt. He messes up the place and then bills us for not keeping it up to standards. If there's a knock at your door, a new landlord has purchased the place. No more rent. The new landlord will be living in the manager's apartment. It shows up demanding rent. What do? You're tempted to punch him out or pay him, but you don't do that. You send him to the new landlord. You say, this place is under new management. Hallelujah. That's what you and I need to do when the enemy of our souls comes to tempt us and comes to try and destroy us. You know the struggle. You know that little voice you hear in your ear. It's always going to be this way. You're no good. You can't live for God. You can't become a mature Christian. You can't do ministry like so and so. That's not in the cards for you. You're just going to be a failure your entire life. And like any good liar, he will mix truth with his lies and he'll point to your mistakes. How many know the enemy will remind us of our mistakes? Look at this. You did this and you failed this way and you failed this way. You've heard the saying, when he reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when we are a new person in Christ, the enemy has no claim on our soul. He has no claim on our life. He has no right to impact your life. He has no authority over you. You're a new creature in Christ. And the Spirit of God within you is that new landlord, and he will help you to battle the flesh. Oh, the old nature's still there lurking and trying to raise up. How do we battle that? Do we just grit our teeth and say, I'm going to do better next time? Well, that doesn't always work, does it? But when we walk with the Spirit, that's why it's so important, church. The basics are so important in our lives. I know so many of us have been in church for so many years, and we get so tired of hearing about the basics. Listen, it's the basics that'll help you live the Christian life that God intends for you to live. Spending time every day in prayer, reading the Word of God, consistently coming to the house of God and fellowshipping with God's people, studying the Word of God, doing all we can to mature and grow in Him. And we can have victory over that, our old nature. We can have victory over our old master who wants to come and work against us. What do we need to understand? To walk with the Spirit, we've mentioned the stride of the Spirit and the struggle of the saints. The third aspect of this is this, the secret of our success. In verse 16, Paul said, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What does it mean to live by the Spirit? It means two things. Number one, God will do His part. God will do His part in your life and in mine. We sang this morning, you're never going to let me down. Now, that's a nice sentiment in the song, but do we really believe that? See, because when something goes wrong and we don't want to accept responsibility, what do? We blame others. And some of us even blame God, don't we? God, how could you let this happen? God, you know, it's the way my parents raised me. God, if only my boss would get off my back, you know, or God, if only this, and if only that, and we blame God. God really will never let you down, church. He will do His part If we live by the Spirit, if we keep in step with the Spirit of God, He will help us to live a successful Christian life. Author and pastor Stuart Briscoe, stop right there. The pause that refreshes. Author and pastor Stuart Briscoe helps us get a handle on what Paul is saying with an experience he had, or more literally, an experience he created. He said that years ago when he and his wife's children were very small, he said, we went for a little drive into the English countryside, and there was some fresh snow. And he said, we stopped the car, I saw this great field where there was great, beautiful snow. No one had walked on it. It was just pristine. And he said, he said he was going to create a sermon illustration. So he ran around in a great big circle with strides just as wide as he could. Came back to the car and said, now, kids, we're going to go walk in the snow, but I want you to walk in the footsteps that I made in the snow. Don't make your own. Walk in the snow. Of course, the kids were small, and the youngest one would try, couldn't do it, and the next older one would try, and he'd stretch as far as he could. Well, naturally, he couldn't do it. He couldn't have as big a stride. And his wife said to him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to get a sermon illustration. That's what I'm going to do. We preachers look for sermon illustrations everywhere. So he took his young son, Pete, and he picked him up, and he put his left foot on top of his own left foot. He put his son's left foot on his left foot, his right foot on his right foot, and you can guess what he did next. He retraced the steps he had made with his son's feet on top of his feet. And he went all around the path, and he did that with all of his kids. And what he was illustrating is the reality that we as believers, we can't, in our flesh and our human nature, we can't keep up with, we can't live this Christian life. We can't do it on our own, in our own strength and our own ability. But when we are in stride with the Spirit, when we rely on God's Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me, we can walk with the Spirit. We can walk in His steps. Amen? And we can be what God wants us to be. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God does His part. God provides for you and me to walk with the Spirit. But then secondly, we must do our part. Colossians 3 says this, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Okay? So he says, focus on things that are above. Focus on things that matter. I did a funeral service on Friday, and I shared from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where one of the things that Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, is this. He says, fix your eyes on things which are unseen. Think about that for a minute. How do you fix your eyes on things you can't see? But what Paul was saying is, he goes on to say, fix your eyes on things you can't see. Because things you can see are temporal, they don't last, but the unseen is eternal. And what he was saying is the focus of your life. Yes, we have to deal with earthly things. We have to make a living. We have to raise our families. Yeah, we have to get our cars fixed and other appliances fixed when they don't run. And it doesn't seem like they all break down at the same time. Yeah. And we have to fix leaky roofs. And we have to do all those things. But in the midst of that, our focus, Paul is saying, should be on the unseen, on that which is eternal, on that which has eternal significance. Fix your eyes, focus your life on the unseen, the eternal things that matter. And it's so easy, isn't it? Because of the things of this life, isn't it so easy to have our entire focus on the temporal, be on the everyday, be on the mundane. The point I want to make is this. A vast majority, practically all of the things that we focus on and stress over and take up all our time with and devote so much energy to, practically all of it, 100 years from now, won't matter one bit. Am I right? Won't matter one bit. But yet, what do? Man, we devote ourselves. We fix our eyes. We focus on all those things. And while we have to deal with the earthly things, the point of the matter is we should be focused on things of eternal significance. Keep our eyes on things that matter. God will do his part. We need to do our part. And my desire for what I would like you to take from this message is this, is just to have a hunger and a thirst to say, Lord, I want to walk with your Spirit. I want to live my life not in my own strength and my own ability. I want to live my life with your strength and your ability. When I have a difficult situation, when I'm mistreated, when I want to respond in a certain way, we all have that flesh, that sinful nature, right? You ever have somebody say or do something to you and they push your hot button? Come on. And they set you off. And you know, and you just feel it coming up inside. You know, you're going to give them a verbal tongue lashing, the likes of which they have never heard. But you see, if we walk with the Spirit, something else happens. Because we have made a practice, and it's a practice, it's a daily experience. We've made a practice of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Another nature rises up. And something that is totally not us, because what us is that sinful nature that's going to really level someone, verbally or otherwise, hopefully not otherwise. But instead, the Spirit of God raises up. And we give, as Proverbs says, a soft answer which turns away wrath. And things go in a different direction. Why? Because we're yielded the Spirit of God. Don't we want that? Isn't that the way we want to live, church? Not enslaved to our old nature, not a prisoner of our old passions, but instead yielded to God's Spirit so that every thought we think, every word we say, every action we take is something that would please our Heavenly Father, because we've allowed His Spirit to have His way in our lives. We need to understand the stride of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us to maturity and to ministry. We need to understand the struggle of the saints, the struggle that all of us are involved in. We struggle with our old nature. We struggle with our old master sometimes. But we need to understand the secret of our success. God will do His part. I need to do my part. I need to follow close to Him. I need to allow the Spirit of God to be the guide of my life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we bring this service to a close, how about your life today? I said a few minutes ago, we all have that sinful nature. We all battle with the flesh. But what is your life predominantly governed by? Is it governed by your flesh? Is it governed by your desires? Is it governed by what you want? Or is it a life that's yielded to the Holy Spirit? Is it a life of daily walking with the Spirit, communing with God's Spirit, praying prayers, something like this, that say, Holy Spirit, I want you to live through me today. Holy Spirit, I want you to flow through me. I don't want to live according to my strength and my ability and my agenda and my purpose and my goal. Holy Spirit, you flow through me. Holy Spirit, you give me words to say in a difficult situation. Holy Spirit, you help me know what to do when I'm tempted to do what my flesh would like. Holy Spirit, you help me and remind me of what you would have me to do. I want to be yielded to the Spirit. Church, we're not talking about a momentary experience. We're not talking about just a great thought on a Sunday morning. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about a walk. We're talking about a way of living. We are called to be people of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How many, as you've heard the word of the Lord this morning, and even now you sense the Holy Spirit just speaking to your heart, you would just slip a hand up and say, Pastor Tim, I just feel a greater need today to be more yielded to the Holy Spirit in my life. Every moment of every day. Just slip your hand up. Yes, we just want to pray for it. Yes, I feel the need. Holy Spirit, hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, we are your vessels. We are your children, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, it is you who have drawn us to Jesus. It is you who has brought us into fellowship with the living God. Holy Spirit, forgive us for having come to God through your work, now trying to live for God through our own strength. We can't do it. We're not equipped, capable. Holy Spirit, help us. You've seen the upraised hands. You know our hearts today. Holy Spirit, help us to yield to you. Help us, Lord, before we leave the house in the morning, Lord, to commit our ways to you. Commit and yield to you. Lord, it's not what we want. It's not what we desire. It's not what we would prefer. Lord, Holy Spirit, it's what you have for us. Holy Spirit, hallelujah.